Can we have the materials distributed very quickly? We are going into the mind renewal training proper. I'll read a few things from the material, and then I will share some thoughts with us that the Lord put in my heart. So, what is mind renewal? I want you to go to Romans chapter 12, one of our anchor scriptures. Romans chapter 12. You can write your name on the material, but after the service, hand it in. Please submit it. Don't take it home. Then when you come next week, you pick it up again. That's what we'll do until we're done. And when we're done, then you can have it as yours. Okay? If I give you now to take it home, some of you might not bring it next week. And then you will expect that we'll give you another one. We don't want to do that. I want you to treasure it. That's why I've adopted the method of my Father in the Lord. Romans chapter 12, which forms the basis, one of the scriptures actually, that form the basis of our discussion. I charge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now listen first, don't look at the material for now. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In another translation, it says, I beg you. In the Amplified Classic. But let me read KJV first, then we'll go to Amplified Classic. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Brethren means brothers and sisters. It is not a spiritual word. It's just an old way of saying brothers and sisters, okay? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This was Paul the Apostle. That you present your bodies. Somebody say, my body. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now notice, he didn't ask you to present a step further. Your body also is very important. I want you to present your body to God as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God. In other words, you may be a Christian and you don't present your body a living sacrifice. When you say something is a sacrifice, you know that, oh, okay, this is gone. For example, if you bring an animal and you say this goat is for sacrifice, nobody goes there to eat it. They say it's for a special purpose, maybe to worship an idol somewhere. We understand that because we're Africans. We understand sacrifice a lot. But Paul said, I'm not asking you to kill your body. I'm asking you to make your body a living sacrifice. You are still living, but you're a sacrifice. And then, how do we do that? Holy. Your body, not your spirit now. Your body, holy, acceptable unto God. In other words, there's a way to present your body that may not be acceptable to God. Some Christians say, it is my flesh that committed that sin, not my spirit. So you can't judge me. Hey, whether it's your flesh or your spirit, the Bible is asking you here to present even that your flesh, that your body, a sacrifice unto God. God wants the total man. It is in your totality that you are going to bring profit to the kingdom of God. Hey, you can't say, well, you know, I know my spirit is bringing glory to God. It's just that my flesh is just misbehaving, you know, but at least God should be pleased with my spirit. God wants the total man. Spirit, soul, and body. If we separate one out of the three, life is gone. Take out the soul, it goes with the spirit. Take out the spirit, it goes with the soul. Take out the body, and then you separate body from spirit, it is equal to death. What is the difference between us and those in the mortuary right now? We have life. The spirit, the soul, and the body are together. For the people in the mortuary, the soul and the spirit have departed. It's only the body that is left. There's a saying on the street. You know, they say, I'm doing this small work. It's little money, but I'm managing it in order to keep body and soul together. Have you heard that before? I'm sure that is not strange. Tommy, are you with me? To keep body and soul together. Body and soul must be kept together. Plus the spirit must be kept together. Otherwise, if we separate one of them, it is equal to death. People will tell you, don't worry, Pastor, I'm not in church, but my spirit is with you. No. Your spirit is not with us. If your spirit were with us, and your body is at home eating pizza, in fact, your body will not be able to eat pizza. Because the moment you separate your body from your spirit, death occurs. Are you with me, church? So Paul the Apostle says, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In the Amplified Classic, your reasonable service was described or translated as your spiritual worship, your reasonable, rational, intelligent service, and spiritual worship. God wants worship from the total man. From the total man. Your spirit, soul, and body to worship him. You and I know. I mean, we wouldn't be having a service tonight if we ask all our spirits to gather here. Or pastor comes and none of you shows up. And you all text me and say, Pastor, my spirit is with you. Is it your spirit that will come and power the camera? Your spirit will turn on the light, power the mic, power the sound system. Don't worry, Pastor, church is going to be great. You'll be preaching. We are with you in spirit. Our spirits are with you. That's a scam. So God wants the total man. A lot of emphasis has been placed on the spirit. Very less on the body. But hey, listen to me, brothers and sisters. God cares how you use your body. I want you to know from tonight, the next place you go to, the next gathering, the next meeting, the next party, when nobody's watching, how are you using your body? This body also belongs to God. Amen? We are bought with a price. The Bible makes that very clear. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And if God is going to send you on an assignment, he wants your spirit, soul, and body to go. Can I have an amen to that? God wants to send you to Ekiti, for example, to start a church. Or he's sending you to Australia to start a youth ministry. Something unusual in that area. He wants to use you. He's not just going to send your spirit. Your spirit must go with your body and your soul because no embassy gives any spirit visa. Are you with me, church? So let's be thinking holistically like this. Like the three parts are very important. That's why Paul the Apostle prayed in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Your spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless, until Jesus returns. Your spirit, soul, and body. No contamination. Your spirit, soul, and body. Very important. All right. So give me Romans 12. And I know you're in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to Romans 12 and verse 1, Amplified Classic. Let's see how we put it there. Before we go to verse 2, which is our core, and then we move on quickly. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you. I appeal. This is a strong appeal. And this is coming to you, young Christians, believers, young people. I don't mean you gave your life to Christ yesterday, and even if you did, that's fine. Some of you have been in the faith for a while, but you're young people. And as young people, we have energy. We have hormones running in our blood, bloodstreams. We have adrenaline. We have testosterone. We have estrogen. We have all kind of things. We have libido, sex drive. Now, it is not a sin to feel that way, to feel sexual. That's like the major, most important temptation that every young person goes through, especially when you're single. But there's a way to channel that energy, to bring profit to the kingdom of God, and to bring even promotion to your life. And this is why we are doing this training. And much more. Amen? God wants us to change. But this change cannot be achieved by our self-will, by our own principles. I've met people who would say, I don't shake hands with ladies just to avoid temptation. Ah, no, I don't hug. Hug? Nah. Hey, a day is going to come, you will be compelled to shake hands. What if your school decides to give you an award and the person to present the award is a woman? She's a professor. Will you go up the stage and say, well, I'll get the award, but I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't shake hands with ladies. Now, you are going to have to embarrass yourself big time. So it's not about your do's and don'ts. It's not about your rules. You know, me, I don't talk to ladies, though. What if a lady talks to you? I don't hug ladies. What if someone hugs you unexpectedly, an old friend that met you somewhere and said, I'm going to surprise this guy, and then hugs you from behind? Oh, you're just going to die? No. It's not about the rules. It's about a change in your innermost being that affects the outer part of you that we see. It's not about the rules and the regulations, the do's and don'ts, no. It's about a total change of the new you on the inside, which will now affect the you on the outside. So shaking hands with ladies won't be a problem. Giving somebody a hug won't be a problem. Amen? I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication. Two words, decisive and then dedication. Decisive from the word decision or from the word decide, meaning you make up your mind. You decide. You take a decision. You are not coerced into it. You are the one making up your mind. Look, I am going to do this. Decisive. Then, dedication. When you talk about dedication, what comes to my mind easily is a particular snack. That snack comprises two components. One of the components is an egg. The other component is a bacon. A bacon is the flesh you get from a pig. Now, to make that snack, all the chicken has to do is to donate an egg. That is a commitment. But to make the same snack, you have to kill a pig. The pig has to die. The chicken doesn't have to die. All it does is lay an egg, donate it. But for the pig, you have to slaughter it, get the meat out, and then make that snack. While the chicken is committed, the pig is dedicated. Dedication goes beyond just words. Dedication even goes beyond just a commitment. You can make a financial commitment to a ministry, but you are not there yourself physically. You are not there serving and doing all the things that others are doing. It's not bad to make a commitment. I have ministries I make commitments to regularly. I send some seed to them. I send money to them. But I'm not there physically to help them set up the wires and do evangelism. No, I'm not. That's a commitment. I'm dedicated here. This one is my life. So, Paul said, I want you to make a decisive dedication. If I look at the word dedication, you find something like dead there, dead. That was what Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. See, when you come to Christ, you don't have your own life anymore. That's why you cannot react to certain things the way you used to or the way your friends who are not born again normally would respond or react to certain situations. Now you respond better. You respond from the spirit. People say certain things and your friends may laugh, but you don't laugh. You are able to discern that this is a spiritual statement. All right? This is more than what everybody's thinking, because now you are in Christ and then you can interpret things. Now, dedication, your life in Christ would require that you are dedicated, that you are dead to the flesh. Amen. The life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paraphrasing Galatians 2:20. That's a life of dedication. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, when you are growing in the things of the Spirit, there are certain things that people will do to you, and you will look at them and shake your head and say, I wish you tried this with me last year. You for hear them. But now you look at the person and just smile. Why are you smiling? It's all right. Is that what you said? That's fine. I'll see you later. And then you go to your closet and say, Lord, I thank you for your grace. Because on a good day, you said that to me last year or 2 years ago. They'll be picking two of us from the gutter. Because we'll be rolling inside this gutter. What has happened? We have changed. But it's an ongoing process. Amen? Your life is now dedicated to Christ. You are no longer dedicated to alcohol. So when you see people who are taking alcohol like you used to, it irritates you. Because you are now dedicated to Jesus. Amen? You are now dedicated to the things of the kingdom. Now, Paul said, go back to that Romans 12. Thank you. Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. Yeah. Amplified Classic. He said, I want you to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. Your bodies. This will include your hormones. This will include seeing a fine girl, seeing everything you like, and on a good day, yeah, you would have gone after her to say, hey, what's up, babe? You know you're not going to marry her. It's just chop, clean mouth. Everybody will go away. Friends with benefits, or whatever they call it. But hey, brother. Hey, brother. You can't do that anymore. A decisive dedication of your body. And hey, lady, you know you are beautiful. And back in the day, you could get whatever you wanted just by your beauty. Just show up somewhere and then wink the eye. And then all the men are running around to favor you. That what can we do for you? No. She came to me first now. And then you have your way. But now you are a child of God. You know he gave you this beauty not to mess around. He gave you this beauty to rather bring people to the knowledge of the saving grace of Christ. Maybe you invite them to church. Maybe you sit down with them, share the word of God with them. And then they talk to you in about 5 minutes. They see that this is not just beauty. This is beauty plus brain plus Christ. Can I have an amen? So even though your beauty attracts them, but when they come close, they see that there is more than beauty here. You can go close to some beautiful people and all you see after 5 minutes, all you will discover is that it's only beauty. If I no brain. Christ, no, that one is gone forever. It's not there. Unless there's mercy. Paul said, a decisive dedication of your bodies. Presenting all your members and faculties. All of them, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, all your members and faculties, all of them, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. If you understood this as a lady, would you go all over the place showing everybody your cleavage? You know, some people wear low dresses intentionally, especially in the days in which we live. Some show their tummy now. Just show the world your tummy. Maybe what ladies don't understand, I say this to my wife often, that every part of a woman's body is what I'm trying to interpret this in English. It's Yoruba. They will say, Bubwara obiri, ihohoni. In other words, even your hand, or your arm, is capable to make some men fall. Now, you don't know. You're just wearing your own armless thing, and then you're just going to fetch water on the street, and some people are having accidents. They can't concentrate. How much more when you now begin to expose sensitive parts of your body? You see, the problem with this is, are you saying, Pastor Fred, we should not be fashionable? No, I'm not saying don't be fashionable. But I want to ask you a question. Do you want to draw people to yourself or you want to draw people to Christ? And the same thing goes for all of us, including men too. When you are dressing up, are you trying to get the attention of people to yourself, male and female, or you want to get the attention to Christ? If we think that way, if we are kingdom-minded, things will change. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? Growing up in my teenage years, there was a time I was going to be very rebellious. I was wearing stud. I had a stud. Took that from my auntie, from a trinket box. And I liked it. I looked in the mirror and I looked fine. I was a fine boy. I didn't have anything bald. It was round. I had a perfect U shape. And, I would have my bath. I would rub white powder. Yeah, powder. Yeah, Tony Montana. Yeah. And I would look cool, man. And then I put this thought. I said, man, see, fine boy. Man. And mama didn't like it at all. What's this? Why are you wearing? I said, no, mom, I didn't pierce it. It's just the stud. Could you come on Jesus? I'm a human being now. Well, does that remove your name from the book of life? No. But what is the motive behind it? Are you trying to get people to Christ or you're trying to get attention to yourself? Some people are obsessed with themselves. They're just obsessed. Omo, na me see everything. Let me just find like this. As a Christian, you should grow beyond all of that. Can I have an amen to that? One goal is what we have, that Christ be glorified. And for Christ to be glorified, you have to go through this mind renewal. You see, you'll be thinking differently. People will tell you you're handsome, yeah? And it won't get to your head. You can tell somebody you're handsome and then he's not able to sleep in the night. Man. That girl, guys have been telling me, but a girl now told me. And what is that? As you grow in Christ, some of those things, like Folaka is doing now, you just treat them like water on a duck's back. And let me tell you something. If you don't learn how to treat compliments like that, the day they criticize you, you almost want to commit suicide. If you learn to manage compliments, you will also learn to better handle criticism. If compliments don't get to your head, criticism will not get to your heart. Because you say, well, that's your own opinion. Amen? I'm blessed and highly favored. You called me stupid. You said I'm arrogant. It doesn't bother me. But you tell certain people, you're arrogant. For 3 weeks, they are crying. Arrogant, Lord me. Am I really arrogant? See what everybody says that really should get to you? All right. Verse 2, which is where we're going. Verse 2, quickly. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. You see, like fashion, everything is superficial. Everything will go. If there is something raining right now, it won't rain forever. There were certain designs that rained 10 years ago. If you wear them now, people look at you like you're odd. There was a time it was boot courts. We thought that was the in thing and there'll be no future after boot court. But I was surprised that baggy jeans came back. And we left baggy jeans and then we came back to the very thin one that you need to wear nylon. Nylon to wear the thing. And when you want to remove it, you need to wear nylon again to remove it. It's like, what do you call it? Skin, right? Maybe skin jeans. We used to call it back in the day. There was a time we were wearing crazy jeans. I don't know. No, so it went for a long time. And then when it came back, they call it ripped jeans. It's no longer crazy. Fashion keeps just revolving. The boot cuts are beginning to come back again. And I'm seeing some people wearing baggy already. Now, in my mind, I can't process that at the moment. But maybe another 2 years, by the time I see all my guys wearing it, I may also decide that, okay, maybe this is the in thing now. But the Bible says to not live our lives that way because, you see, the customs of this world are superficial and they are fleeting. They are ephemeral. They don't last. They don't. But be transformed. Be changed. Somebody say change. This is what God wants. God doesn't want us to just be reformed. God, listen to me. God doesn't want us to just be refurbished. Those of you in computers and phones, those of you that know about gadgets, you know about refurbished computers and refurbished phones. They are not new. They're old. They're used. They got damaged. Then somebody got the parts together, put it together, and refurbished them. God doesn't want our lives refurbished, like damaged goods that have now been improved. No. God wants us changed. I gave an example last week. I'll still give it again tonight. In explaining the change, the kind of change that God wants. God wants us changed. And can I say something? Even we should desire to change. I don't want this level anymore. I want a greater level. Because in God, there is always room for more. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. God wants you to change and to change and to change and to change until we become like Christ. Can I have an amen? Romans 12:2, Amplified Classic. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. Open bracket. By its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Can I ask a question? When you are sick in your body, or if you are sick in your body, is that the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you? To be sick. How about you are not able to pay your bills, and men, they are threatening you. We are coming to throw out your stuff. We are coming to throw out your property. Will that be the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you? How about a Christian who dies young, dies at 19, 29, 39, 49? Would that be the good, perfect, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you? You will see that if you spend time on this kind of scripture, and like I'm asking you these questions, you can write down 10 questions. If so and so happens to me or in my family, will that be the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for my life or for my family? If my parents are separated, they don't talk to each other anymore, or if they are divorced, will that be the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for my family? If we are traveling and we get involved in a ghastly accident, will that be the good, perfect? Now, you know, some Christians say those things happen because God wants to teach them a lesson. I don't know that kind of God. The God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have read, is a good God. And I don't see a good father like me who would go and tamper with the brakes of my car and give the keys to my son and say, go to Bodija, go and buy some groceries. And I have destroyed the brakes. And I know that no matter how expensive a car may be, if the brakes are bad, that's a death trap. I don't see a father like me put my son in that kind of precarious situation. So why would Heavenly Father do that? A lot of times, religion has done damage to our thinking. As it was in the past, so it is now, so forever it will be, forever and ever, amen. At funeral services, that's where some young people make up their minds never to serve God. Because at the age of 10 or at the age of 12, they've lost their mom. And now by the graveside, the priest comes. it has pleased the Lord to take away our sister, our beloved sister. It has pleased the Lord to take her away. And the 12-year-old boy is thinking, what the heck? God came to our home and took away my mama, who gives me food, who makes my breakfast, who helps with homework, who does my laundry. God did that. If I catch that God, I'm going to kill him. Because he doesn't know better. And you have planted a seed right there. Because words are seeds. Luke 8:11. Now this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed is not only the word of God. Even your own words are seeds. Proverbs 18:21. Put that up. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, amen, give it to me, not AMPC now. I love AMPC, but give it to me in the KJV first. They that love it shall eat what? Come on, talk to me. Shall eat what? What produces fruit? Seed. Seed. A seed will produce fruit, which means death and life are seeds in your tongue. You sow them, you plant them, and it's only a matter of time. They are going to produce fruit, and you are going to eat the fruit. It now depends on the kind of seed you are sowing, which will now determine the harvest that you are going to reap. Are you with me, church? So if I sow the seeds of life, what fruit am I going to be eating? If I sow the seeds of death, what am I going to be eating? Oh, I'm just sick and tired of this crazy country. All right? Three things. You're going to be sick over time. You're really going to get tired someday. And this country is going to be crazy for you. In spite of how crazy it looks out there, see, Nigeria is blessed. And Nigeria will yield its fruit for me in the name of Jesus. And say, God bless Nigeria. Can I have an amen to that? That's a way to think differently. Americans find it a lot easier to say God bless America than Nigerians find it easy to say God bless Nigeria. I mean, we're frustrated with all of the things happening on the outside, but we must understand that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. So we are in a kingdom that is not visible within the kingdom of Nigeria. We're in the kingdom of God, and we want to bring the kingdom to bear. We want to bring the kingdom forward in this physical kingdom. Can I have an amen to that? Right. So treat your words as seed. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's talking about seed. Why is it? How did I get to know? They that love it, they that love the seed, shall eat the fruit thereof. You plant the seed, you eat the fruit. If you don't like the fruit you're eating, change the seed you're planting. Simple Bible sense. I don't like mangoes. Plant oranges. You like oranges? Plant oranges. You can't be planting oranges and keep wondering, Lord, why am I getting oranges? Why am I getting oranges? Why am I? Father, I want to fast and pray. Change this orange tree, Father. Let it bring forth mangoes. No, it won't bring forth mangoes. If you want mangoes, you plant mangoes. You want longevity? Plant the seed of longevity. You want favor? Plant the seed of favor. Say to yourself, I'm blessed and highly favored every day. This is not about how you feel. Many times, we don't feel like making good confessions. It's a lot easier to be negative. But when you begin to renew your mind, it will now be a lot easier to make Bible confessions, and it will be a lot more difficult to be negative. Some of you are already there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of you now, it's very difficult for you to even look at someone and say you are mad. You feel like, your body feels like it. You, and the person is really mad. And you want to say you are mad, and you say you are. Oh, maybe okay, for yourself now. Maybe you made a mistake and say, oh, I really just You can't use the F words anymore. How does it sound in your ears? You must grow to that point where F words sound very, very absurd. It's just a... What? No. All right. So let's break it down. What is man renewal? I've shown you some things in the scripture. Actually, the practical part of it. So those who are writing... Well, you don't need to write. You have the material. Just maybe on the line. But please always come to this class with your pen, okay? Mind renewal is the restoration of the mental faculties of a Christian to the state that God originally intended man to operate in. There was a state that God originally intended for man to operate in. God intended that man would operate like him, that man would operate like Christ. When he made man and put him in the garden, he gave him the mandate to extend that garden, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, replenish it, have dominion. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. That was God's plan. The Garden of Eden probably would have extended to Nigeria. Just keep extending it. Just keep extending it. Just keep multiplying. Keep increasing. Increase God's idea. And for you to increase like that, your mind must be working like the mind of Christ. Always positive. You can't even entertain negativity. You don't get on a project and you start thinking of failure. Failure is not a possibility. You just know this thing I've embarked on is going to work. Can I have an amen to that? So mind renewal is the restoration. What is restoration? When you say restore, that thing was in store before. But somebody came to the store and took it out and took it away. But hey, you go get it and then bring it back to the store. That is restore. Do you understand my definition of restore? That's restoration. Restoration is because the thing was in store before, but then it was taken away. But then you go after it and get it back and put it back there. So mind renewal is the restoration of the mental faculties of a Christian, someone like Christ. Someone who has given his life to Christ, to the state that God originally intended man to operate in. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian. Why do we renovate it? Because some things have happened in our mind. We've grown very carnally. We have allowed carnal thoughts. We have allowed the way of thinking of this world to affect us. So we think like the rest of the world. But hey, when you start this mind renewal process, you start thinking like Christ again. No longer thinking like the world. You start thinking like Christ. You know, some people still believe that anybody can be sick. But some people believe, no, in the name of Jesus, I will not be sick. And I cannot be sick. For knowing who you are in Christ, I'm paying attention to how you treat your body. You pay attention to what you eat. Time to rest. Time to exercise. And time to feed on the word of God. There is no room for sickness. Some people think that anybody can be broke at any time because in life, everybody has their high seasons and everybody has their low seasons. Have you read that in the Bible before? Have you read that in the Bible before? That at certain times there shall be low seasons in your life, in the life of a believer. Well, how come we have come to believe that? We have listened too much to R&B. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry. Life never tells us the wins and whys. Sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes it's right. You will excel, yeah, yeah. Say, shoo, 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 beru. Do you know that song? Ah, only that was a groove in the air. In the late 90s into the early 2000s. Man, that's I think Tony Braxton or one of those people. I used to have a collection of Tony Braxton, Mariah Carey, Jenna Jackson. Those are my kind of people. You know, one of them sang it here. And what's this other lady that died? And I will always... Whitney Houston. Ah, well, one of the deliverances that God had to do for me was in that area. Because, man, my mind was jammed with those things. And I almost was living my life. In fact, not almost. I was living my life based on some of those wordings of those songs, the lyrics. Like, there was one I knew. I think it was this Whitney Houston too. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadows. If I fail, now listen. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. And I was thinking, man, if I fail, it's all right. If I succeed, it's all right. At least I live as I believe. That's a crazy way to think. As a child of God, I will not fail, I will succeed. Can I have an amen? Do we serve a God that says, well, you shall serve the Lord? And then all the F words. And we lived unconsciously like that. Because we always had rivals on the streets. There was always somebody that didn't like you, somebody beefing you, you dress better than them, they don't like you. So as you are walking on the streets, you know, you are looking at, you walk past their house with your new Akube. Your newest Akube Tommy Hilfiger sneakers, man. Warroless, okay. Warroless, okay. So they can see it very well. And say, you my haters. Can you tell me what? I see them, they run. And then you frown your face. Because as a hard guy, your face had to be. Man. We are to rejoice in Christ. Can I have an amen? Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. See how music was conditioning our minds. People heard music and killed themselves. There were some brothers back in the day in America. History has it. They listened to it was rock and roll. And they danced in their room and they opened the window and the first one jumped down, fear, from a skyscraper. The second one jumped down. The third one jumped down. The three of them died. When they went to their room, the music was still playing. How that these things, I call them influences, outside influences, affect us. But hey, now that we're in Christ, if you feed on garbage too much, you'll be acting up garbage. Imagine all you listen to is, I'll make love to you, boys to men. In the morning, in the afternoon, at night, I'll make love to you like you want me. And I want you. You are not thinking of anything. You're looking for a woman. And time is going. But every time, uncle is in his room listening to Boys Two Men. And Boys Two Men don't even know you. They are making money in America. These things condition our minds. Who do you fellowship with? Who do you hang out with? What kind of spirit do they carry? Because you are fellowshipping beyond just with human beings, you are fellowshipping with their spirits also. When you watch porn, you are fellowshipping with demon spirits. And you don't want them hanging around in your room because after that movie, they won't leave the room. They'll still stay there. Controlling stuff. That's why they don't leave people alone. Easy. Next night, they tell you where to go again. In fact, they will suggest sites to you because they know the sites. But hey, we can recondition our mind and say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and stay in the Word of God. I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ will not suggest to me to watch X-rated movies. So you can boldly declare, I take authority. This is my room. I take authority over my room. In fact, I take authority over this entire house. In fact, I take authority over this street and I rebuke you, devils, and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. And when you speak out of authority, they know. Papa David Yonggi Cho, a man used of God mightily in South Korea, he had a church membership of 8 million. People went to church by roster. So you get to come to church. Their church had about 8 buildings. You came to church once in maybe 6 months, or maybe once in 9 months. You would come, I mean, physically to the building by rooster. This one, we are begging people to come to church. Over there, you beg to come to church because God used that man mightily. Then one day, the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to go to Japan and start a work for me there. So he went to Japan, and this man prayed a lot in the spirit. And he was in his hotel room, and then he sensed that there was a presence in the room. And when he opened his eyes, he saw Satan himself. And Satan said to him, I am not going to allow you to do that thing, the same thing you did in Korea here. This is my territory. I will not allow you. You know, till today, Japan and some of those countries are hard-cutting countries. The gospel doesn't, they still have maybe less than 200,000 Christians in some of those countries. In China, for example, Christianity is practiced on the ground. You can't carry Bible openly like this. Like, so Satan said that to him. And the initial response was, he was afraid. He was scared to see Satan in his room and confronting him. So he began to pray. He began to try to rebuke the devil. And Satan laughed and said, you see now, your prayer is not working. Today, I am actually going to kill you. Satan said that to him. And so he was praying. And then he was praying. And the Holy Spirit said to him, don't be afraid, because you are not to pray out of fear. Your prayer is working. But you know what to do now? Quote the word. Use the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Many of us, all of us have the sword, but some of us, the sword is very blunt. You need to spend time. Get into this word. This word will renew your mind. And when you quote it, you can use it effectively in spiritual warfare. As he began to say, it is written. It is written. The devil said to him, why are you saying that? Why are you quoting the word? And then he said he quoted about 3-4 scriptures. And all of a sudden, the same devil that was laughing at him when he was praying vanished out of the room. He said immediately, he got on the phone and called his leadership team. Guys, I've got the secret. Always pray, it is written. Pray the word. Pray the word. Pray the word. In Luke chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 4, when the tempter, Satan, came to Jesus, how did Jesus overcome him? It is written. It is written. It is written. My challenge to you, church, tonight is, do you ever open this word to see what is written? Or will you be empty in the day of battle? Will you give him quotable quotes? Satan, the way you dress is the way you'll be addressed. That won't work. People listen now to preachers more than the word. It's good to listen to preachers, but always get back to the word. And be careful who you're listening to anyway. But always go back to the word, like the Berean Christians, to check if those things were actually so. Let's finish this up. Please let the timer work. We still have about 8 minutes to seven. Let me use that judiciously. It is the removal, now mind renewal is the removal of information, patterns, mindsets, attitudes, and limitations that will not be found in the mind of Christ. The renewing of the Christian's mind is the restoration of the Christian's mind into a state of continuous harmony and synchronization with the mind of Christ. Listen, church, you will not be agitated. Even though they say tomorrow is the deadline and you don't have the money today, you will not be agitated. Because the thoughts from his mind are the ones flowing in your mind. Can you imagine Jesus being agitated? He was faced with a crowd of about 20,000 people. The Bible says 5,000 men. In John chapter 6, he didn't fret. Where are we going to get money from? Philip, come here. Where are we going to get bread? bread for these people. Philip said, sir, if we buy bread worth 200 penny, like an annual salary of somebody, it will not be enough to feed this multitude. In verse 6, the Bible says, this he asked in order to prove him, in order to prove Philip. Listen, for he himself knew what he would do. He was faced with the situation of feeding so many people in a wilderness, and he was not agitated. How much is your school fees? How much is your house rent? How much is your project money that is getting you to be agitated? Get back to the Word of God. Renew your mind so that your mind can be in harmony and in synchronization with the mind of Christ. You will ask yourself, what would Christ do in this situation? If you go to the hospital and they give you a very terrible diagnosis, what would Jesus do in this situation? Will he cry? No. Would Jesus ever cry? None of his disciples had the opportunity of being sick. You can't even tell Jesus, Master, I won't be able to go with you for evangelism tomorrow. Why? I have headache. And what do you think the response will be? He won't even look at them. They are talking behind him. You say, by my stripes you are healed. You had no chance to be sick around him. Nobody had the chance. He came to Peter's mother-in-law's house, and she was down with fever. He touched her. That's all. He touched her. She got up, and the Bible says she ministered to them. She didn't sing. She went to the kitchen and cooked food for them. Same day. He just touched her. She got up. She went to the kitchen. Okay, what would you like to eat? Same woman, 2 minutes ago. May we get to that point also. You touch somebody and they're healed. So nobody gets the chance around you to be sick. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. One of the signs, they will lay their hands on the sick. He didn't say, and they will pray for them. Mm-mm. There's another scripture for prayer. But this one, he says, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Can you imagine you're just gisting with somebody? The person was sick and you just put your hand on them. I'm well. Did you pray for me? They shall lay hands on the sick. That's what the Bible says, though. I know your religious mind is saying, Pastor, how can that happen? They still have to pray, even though the Bible doesn't say they should pray. They have a prayer life in the secret. Are you getting what I'm saying? But they will lay hands on the sick. Was Peter praying on the streets of Jerusalem when people that came into his shadow length were getting healed? He was just walking. All he needed to do was walk. There was an electromagnetic field around him that everyone that came within his shadow length got healed. Shadow of Peter. May you get on an airplane where everybody is agitated and everybody receives peace in the name of Jesus. May you walk in the place and they say, since you joined us here, things have been 100% much better. Can I have an amen to that? Let me finish this. It is simply reprogramming a Christian's carnal fallen state mind to function and operate in the same manner and with the same efficiency as the mind of Christ. We will always come back to this definition. So please note, you can mark it. Now, let me go to the scriptures. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what is the word conformed there? From the Greek, it is suschematizo. Suschematizo. Suschematizo, meaning to fashion alike. That is, to conform to the same pattern, figuratively. Conform to fashion oneself according to. That's like to copy someone else. You fashion yourself like that person. You know, like you like a particular person, like your model, your role model, and you always want to be like them. That's conformed. And the Bible says for us to not be conformed, to not fashion our having our minds renovated. Can I have an amen? In conclusion, so what the original, this is not to validate the Bible with science, but this is to validate science with the Bible. The Bible is the final authority. Science can change. When a scientist comes up with an experiment and then comes down with maybe something, what do you call it now? A theory or whatever. After some time, another scientist will come and do another experiment and then we'll counter that. But you see, this word of God is forever settled. Amen? But wherever we can profit or benefit from science, let's benefit from it. That's what they have done with this study, with this material. All right? While the brain is the hardware, don't forget, the mind is the software. It is the software that makes the hardware work. Is that right? As you put in whatever, you have your Windows OS or you have your Apple has its own, what do you call it? iOS, all right? Like your Android phone now, that's Windows or something like that. It has its own OS, which is different from iOS of Apple, all right? That's what makes it work. If you remove that, what you have left is Pangolo. So the mind is inside, but we will not only talk about our natural human mind, we will also be looking at the mind of Christ, our spiritual mind. How that will help our natural mind, which will now help our lives, so that we can be thinking like Christ. And look, when we start thinking like Christ, it means we start talking like Christ. And when we start talking like Christ, it means we start acting like Christ. And if we start acting like Christ, it means we start getting Christ kind of result. May we get there in the name of Jesus. So, let me just read what he said here very briefly. I've told you about the neurophysicist. So he said, however, in areas where science has not yet caught up with the infallibility of the Bible, we will believe the Bible and wait for science to catch up. Yeah? So in conclusion, and in answer to the opening question, what is mind renewal? Mind renewal is the state, this is the conclusion now, is the state and process of restoring a person's mind to its originally intended functionality, namely to think the thoughts of Christ and thereby of God in every area and at all times in one's life. Mind. To think the thoughts of Christ and thereby of God in every area and at all times in one's life. When it looks like you are facing defeat, what would be the thought of Christ? Would Christ accept defeat? Talk to me. Would he say, it's over? I can't do anything about it. I'm helpless. Would Christ ever say that? Even in the seemingly worst situation, the worst, the very worst, Christ would rise and say, victory is here now. And so it is not over for you, child of God. Can I have an amen? The country is hard right now. Things are tough everywhere. But for you, God has made a provision. Can I have an amen? And your provision will manifest in the name of Jesus. We are not to throw in the towel. We are not to give up every situation. The end result of true biblical mind renewal should be that a Christian thinks, responds, talks, acts, and brings forth fruit and result exactly as Christ would, and even greater works. Next week, we will go into the new man, all right? And then make sure you are here, write your name on your material, and then we'll go through the material again, and then I'll share a thought with you. Let me mention it so you remind me next week that I want to share a thought with you in Numbers 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 1. So write it down, and then we'll take it off from there. Numbers 13, then Deuteronomy chapters 1 and 2. I want to share with you next week how that the spies, 12 spies went out, 10 of them came back with evil report, only 2. Joshua and Caleb came back with good report. What was the difference? We'll talk about it next week by the grace of God. Have you been blessed tonight? Have you really been blessed?